prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cederstrom. I'm here with my co-host, Pastor Butch Paul, bringing you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. And it's Monday, July 17th, 2023. Hi, Butch.
Hello, Mel. How are you doing today?
Melody.
Melody. I like it. Melody. Makes you want to sing, doesn't it?
No, not really.
How you doing?
No, I'm doing great, thanks. How are you?
I'm doing fine. It's a Monday, and we had some rain and sunshine now, so I'm not complaining.
Yes. Well, rain came down pretty good, but not like it has in some places where they have the saddest story. Where was it? Was it Upper New York somewhere? Maybe no, it's Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania, yes, yes.
The two children and
still missing.
Boy, oh boy, oh boy.
Yeah, that'd be hard to take. The daddy made out with one 4-year-old. Mother took another one, and the mother's mother took another one, and they didn't make it out. The dad didn't know he did, but that's so sad. What a sad thing to think about.
I know.
Gee, that'd be hard. That'd be hard to get over.
Yeah, I know. But let's go ahead and talk about gold today. We were able to keep $1,955 on the books for the day in the New York spot price aftermarket. Silver was down 8 pennies at $24.88, but it had a pretty good run here in the last couple of days. Platinum was up $6 at $988, and palladium was also up 15 at $1,319. The USDX today was down 1.10 at 99.85. Crude oil was down 1.31 at 74.11. Paper markets today, of course, they were stronger. This is the highest level in 2023. The Dow was up 76 points. The S&P was up 17. And the NASDAQ was up almost 1%, 131 points. So that's where that's at. Asia, did they do? No, they were all in the red. Europe was all in the red. So glory be, you know, the U.S. can manage green days in the stock markets when the rest of the world is all negative. Let's take a peek at the 10-year yield, 3.80, and natural gas today was also down barely. It's holding at 2.53. So let's see. Well, here it says the FDA approves AstraZeneca Sanofi shot that protects infants and toddlers against RSV. So now these little infants and toddlers get to get another shot. How about that? It's just amazing what those little bodies are given at such a young age. It's just
disgusting.
It's just amazing. Just amazing. But anyway, so a lot of people will rejoice about that. But there was just one thing I wanted to note as far as that we have the dollar. You know, it dipped against the basket of currencies today. Last week, it suffered its largest weekly decline this year. We talked about the Treasury yields tumbled but held above more than one-year lows reached on Friday. And there really was no major catalyst to drive market direction. So, you know, you might this week see the dollar consolidate. Investors are waiting for the Federal Reserve's meeting next week. And that's when the U.S. Central Bank is expected to hike rates just by an additional 25 basis points. And, you know, Mark Chandler, he's a chief market strategist at Bannockburn Global Forex in New York. He said the pace of last week's dollar decline seemed unusually large. Not to me, it didn't. It should be decline. You're going to experience a lot bigger declines than what you did last week, baby. So, you know, you just got to hold on. But the federal funds future trades are pricing an additional 32 basis points of tightening, with the benchmark rate expected to peak at 5.40 in November. So that's what everybody's waiting for. So who knows what you'll see in the paper markets today. But Germany, you know, just to today, the German Bundesbank said the Eurozone's largest economy shrank this year by more than 0.3%. That's expected. So, I mean, it's the same. They're going to give you a little bit of hope out there, and the next minute they're going to take it away. You know, it's kind of like when I worked in the insurance business. The big print giveth and the little print taketh away, Butch.
No doubt. And I have a question. With the dollar declining like that on the international market, we'll say, that's going to mean higher inflation, right, for us?
That's going to mean a lot of things, you know. Yes. One way I look at it, you know, just like when we had, you know, they were fighting inflation, so we import everything. So that always made all of those trinkets and everything else, food, cost us less. You know, now it's going to be reversed. Now you've got foreign currencies, and all those imports are going to be more expensive.
Yes, yes.
So, yeah, prices. So it's going to they're doing this balancing act. And you know what? You can balance things for so long, but eventually, because if you're not balancing the right oranges to oranges ratio, which we're not, it's going to fall. You're going to lose the ability to balance anymore. And, you know, and that's what we're facing. And that's what's doing. You know, hey, the Fed and the central banks, you got to hand it to them.
That's,
you know, they've
true.
Been, you know, but they have unlimited, with the helps of the Wall Street, these multinational corporations, and, you know, all these hedge funds and BlackRock and Carlyle Group. And, you know, I mean, hey, it's just not the Federal Reserve doing it all by themselves. They have a lot of help, to the tune of trillions of dollars. But eventually the crooks get caught. Somewhere along the line, they screw up, make a mistake. And the thing just gets so big, it just collapses. And so, anyway, we know that story, Butch. So
yes, we do. Yes, we do. So, you know, we're dang if we do and dang if we don't. Either way it goes, it's going to hurt the little guy, so to speak.
And good old Janet Yellen, you know, everybody knows she's my favorite. She says Ukraine aid is the best boost for global economy. Okay, good.
Well, for BlackRock it is, and for others, yes.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree.
So let's just help the global economy while ours, fall apart. But she says is the single best way to aid the global economy.
Well, gee, we just think what all-out war would do then. My goodness.
Yeah, amazing.
Yeah, really. Gee, so just going to declare war on Russia and let's get this economy moving.
Let's get her done. She says ending this war is first and foremost a moral imperative, she told reporters in Gandhingagar. But it's also the single best thing we can do for the global economy. Does anybody really know? I mean, really? Do these people even know what she's talking about? It's amazing.
I don't think so. I don't think they do. I don't think
they're all old. They're all, it's like what they are from Mars, aren't they? Well, they are aliens.
War has always been prosperous for those who promote the wars. And back in years ago, Rothschilds, Rockefellers. Now, of course, we can put names on them, like BlackRock and all of them. We can put names on them now because they're the ones who promulgate the war because they do make a profit off of it. If you're making the bullets, you make a lot of money. So that's just all a sad situation, but it is what it is. You know, and we've been conned in so many things, Melody, because war will make certain things boom for a while. But, I mean, I know you and I see it, but the elite don't care about the cannon fodder cost, put it that way, with people. They just care about controlling money.
Yep.
That's just the way it is.
She also pointed to other work tackling debt distress and the reform of multilateral development banks. Okay, including the World Bank and other regional lenders in efforts she said could unlock $200 billion over the next decade. Now get this number. More than half of all low income countries are near or in debt distress. Double the case in 2015. The world is not looking as a very good place, and if people don't think that there is no link to all of these other countries and what can happen, you're sadly mistaken. Is it going to be the catastrophic events that, pushes this and makes those in power lose control? Don't know. But it's just another black swan out there floating around or swimming around or flying around, Butch.
Well, how many countries can you think of? They're totally independent. They don't need somebody else's influence from outside, help from outside, another nation. How many of them do you think worldwide are actually can feed themselves, clothe themselves, take care of themselves? They don't need somebody else's help.
Zero.
So that means whatever goes on in Afghanistan or Taiwan or anywhere else, it affects everybody, doesn't it?
It certainly does.
So there's no smooth way out of this. It just isn't going to happen.
Mm-mm.
We're all too intertwined. It's like the spider. You're waiting for something to fly into his web. No matter how small it is, he feels that web because they're all connected. He's going to wrap them up and eat them. That's the same thing world now. We're all caught up in this world wide web, WWW. You know, that's what it boils down to.
Yep.
So, anyway, anything else you want to add to that?
No.
I got to cover this first story because I really think it's kind of amazing. Then we'll get into some financial stuff. But after pretending to not know whose cocaine it was in the White House, Secret Service reveals drug found twice in 2022 as well. Now, the White House is the most monitored and controlled piece of property probably in the world. But they don't know who left the cocaine. The White House cocaine story, which has been a major distraction for over a week, has been swept under the rug. In doing so, the Secret Service admitted just how incompetent, willfully or not, they are by declaring this isn't the first time illegal substances were found in the White House during Joe Biden's tenure. Granted, it was just small amounts of marijuana that were found in the White House twice last year, but still a prohibited substance. One would think that a Secret Service that takes their charter seriously would ramp up security, including cameras, where they need to be, following the previous incidents. Nope. It's as if they didn't really want to know what's happening with the regime, anyone in it, or anyone related to anyone in it. I think the last statement said it all. Now, can you believe, Melody, that the most secure place in this country, and they had cameras everywhere, they can't find who left cocaine on the desk? I mean, doesn't that speak volumes in itself?
I mean, it really does. But the thing that I have, and you know what, it's probably, you know, but you know what, probably isn't the first time there's been drugs in the White House.
Of course not.
But this is probably the first time that, you know, any administrations that they've actually said they found it. My biggest problem is not having the administration address it and say, this is a horrible thing. We are going to get to the bottom of it. This shouldn't happen. And I haven't heard anything like that coming from the White House.
And I don't think you will. Yeah. As a matter of fact, I'm surprised anybody even addressed it after they found it. I figured it'd be shoved in the rug before anybody knew about it. I'm surprised they even mentioned it at all.
But, I mean, that's how you address the issue, and then it would have just gone away. And, you know, if you would have been tough and saying, you know, this is not allowed, it will not happen again, we will get to the bottom of it, and even if they did or didn't, you know, at least there was the attempt to. This isn't even an attempt.
No.
You know, no leadership at all, because they're all pro-drugs. That's why. Whether it was hunters or not, who's to say? A lot of people do drugs today. Oh, I'm sorry, recreational drugs. So a lot of people, and it could have gotten anywhere, but, you know, so who's to say whose it was? But do something about it. But you're right. The most protected building in the world.
It is amazing. And tourists are not in that loud in that part of the building. So it had to be somebody worked there with access to it. You don't get it, even though you work there, you don't get to go into all parts of the White House or the Capitol.
No,
you have limited access, restricted clearance, so to speak. I remember that when I was in military and top secret clearance. There were places I could go and places I couldn't go. The building we went into for a secret work, run by, actually by the CIA, we had to know a certain code even to get in. Even the APs, Air Police, couldn't get in. Unless you had that code, you could not get in that building. And inside the building, there were codes to get in other rooms. And if you didn't know the code, you couldn't get in other rooms because each room got more, we'll say, secure, so to speak. So don't tell me that somebody just wandered into the White House, dropped the cocaine, and no one could see who it was. That's it. That's absurd. It's a lie, and there's no way around that.
Yep, I agree.
That's all there is to it. Anyway, we'll move on.
Well, if they just legalize it, then it wouldn't matter, right?
Yeah. I'd bring the price down, sure.
Yeah.
Car prices face biggest drop on record as auto market apocalypse begins. Maybe the prices are dropping. I haven't noticed too much myself in this area. Cars are still out of sight. A car market crash of epic proportions is already in motion, according to new data released by Manheim Market Insights and Cox Automotive. In June, car prices faced a record drop, marking the end of 2 years of hefty increases. Used vehicles saw the biggest monthly decline since the pandemic boom, while new ones are about to plummet in value due to an oversupply crisis that is shaking U.S. auto market. Still, higher interest rates are making monthly car payments far more expensive than they were just a year ago, and many Americans who bought a vehicle in the past couple of years and are now seeing its costs fall off a cliff are already underwater on their loans, which indicates that a wave of financial turmoil is right ahead. From May to June, wholesale used vehicle prices declined by 4.2%, according to Manheim Market Insights. More notably, the Manheim Used Vehicle Value Index, a closely watched measure of prices, plunged 10.3% year-over-year in June. Compared to 1 year ago, prices for pickups and vans were down 6.6% and 8.5%, respectively. Sports cars were the worst off, falling 14.8% in prices compared to last year, while compact cars and mid-sized cars each dropped by more than 12% from June 2022. That is a big, that's a bunch. When you say the $20,000 car, that's a $2,000 drop. That is a bunch. But most cars go $35,000 and up easy. So what's this going to mean in the long run? I really don't know. It's, in my mind, it's just a price correction because no one can maintain those prices and pay the payments, especially with interest rates going up. Melly, what do you think?
Well, again, prices are coming down, but coming down from where and how low will they go?
Yes.
You know, and again, you know, we have the inflation equation that equals used cars. So, yeah, you know, when they've hit highs, they're going to come down some, but they're not going to go down to where they were. But what we're going to do is we're going to be heading into a break because that's coming down to where we're at. We'll be right back. Please stay with us.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit the website, dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com, and make sure you sign up for our weekly newsletter. Butch?
All righty. This next article is something that I guess we have to face up to what's actually happening, but it's hard to imagine. Because the middle class was a class that kept its country, was the backbone of the country. It was. And they weren't wealthy, but they were comfortable, and they maintained their households and were able to do it comfortably. But things are changing. I won't get in detail about this real quickly, a personal story I want to share. But a family member of mine who's worked all of his life, never was good at handling money, and that's obvious, had to quit work all of a sudden, and he made big money. I'm talking about he made some big money. He's bankrupt. He can't even afford to make his rent payments now, and he's not well physically. I'm thinking about this. What a sad story that he didn't have the common sense to plan for the future, and he was above middle class. Now, it's more or less his fault, but for those out there that are buster buns and end up losing everything they had because of the economy got so terribly bad, even no matter what Joe Biden said, people are losing their homes. And this is really a sad situation. Vast hordes of Americans are being forced into the streets as the middle class disintegrates. This is Michael Snyder wrote this, a very good article, I'm going to read part of it. How many people will be sleeping in homeless shelters, on the streets, or in their vehicles where you live tonight? That is the sort of question that a lot of us like to think about. But the truth is that homelessness is growing by at a very rapid pace all over the country right now. And if you have lots of money, life probably seems pretty good to you at the moment. You may eat at a different restaurant every night. You may be one of the approximately 10 million Americans that currently own a second home. Our leaders, and not this thing, too, there are 325 million Americans in the country, and of course, half of them are children at least, but only 10 million own second homes. That's not a big number. Our leaders made the wealthy even wealthier by pumping trillions of dollars into the system in recent years, but as the cost of living has soared, the poor have gotten even poorer, and the middle class has steadily disintegrated. So now the gap between the wealthy and the rest of the nation is larger than ever, and that is creating a tremendous amount of tension in our society. We have also just learned that family homelessness in the United States is surging. Family homelessness in the United States is on the rise at an alarming rate, an alarming sign of how the increasing cost of goods, the ever-tightening housing supply, and the end of most pandemic-era benefits are putting pressures on America. Some 72,700 people in America and families with children were experiencing homelessness in 20 of the largest cities in the nation as of January, 37.6% jump from a year before. Let me repeat that. 72,700 people and families with children were experiencing homelessness in 20 of the largest cities in the nation as of January, a 37.6% jump from the year before, according to an analysis of data provided by the jurisdictions. In New York, that figure shot up by two-thirds, while Chicago, District of Columbia, and Fort Worth, Texas also saw outsized increases. I thought that Joe Biden was fixing the economy. So why has the number gone up 37.6% in just 1 year? Now you think about that. Almost a 40% increase of people living in the streets in 1 year. Almost a 40% increase. And a lot of them were middle-class earners. Isn't that huge?
It is.
I mean, it's hard to imagine. 40%, I mean, I don't know how to even put that into perspective to understand how huge a number that is. And I can't imagine that a man and a wife that's tried to make it and work so hard that have children lose their home, live in a shelter or wherever they can live. That is such a sad thing to hear. It's been several years ago now, but I had one family listen to our radio broadcast, lived in the Colorado Springs area. He and his family, I think, of six, eight counting the parents, were living in a station wagon. How tough would that be? Comments?
Well, I mean, this kind of goes along, and I think especially we have these increases because I was hearing about a story this morning about the billions and billions and billions of dollars that were just stolen with all of this pandemic money that was given out. And so you wonder, I mean, here's an article about a 5% pay cut is coming for 37 million student loan borrowers. Millions of student loan borrowers will soon restart paying back their loans. This is equivalent to a 4 or 5% pay cut, according to Wells Fargo. Hello, that's not a pay cut. That's not their wages. That's money they borrowed.
That's right.
So, but they make it sound like, oh my gosh, they're getting a pay. No, they're not getting a pay cut.
They're paying their responsibilities.
They're paying their responsibility. But
well,
I mean, the things are just so distorted and things are so spun. There's so much spin in anything that's given out anymore. And to see this type of increase in the homelessness, the people losing, no, this economy is not great and it's affecting people. In fact, the only people that probably it isn't affecting to some degree are those who have stock market portfolios. And probably 60-70% of the people of this country don't. I don't know if that's true. I'd have to look up that number, but a lot don't. And the middle class has been disappearing for years.
Absolutely. Many years. Many, many years. But they, so but they put,
it's,
they,
it's
they put
disturbing.
The shaft to him again. They put the shaft to him again by forgiving debt for the loan borrowers on education. But the taxpayer pays that. When it comes out of everybody's pocket, but the middle class pay for it more than anybody else. They pay more tax than anybody else, and they still lose their homes. There you go.
That's true. So there's such a combination of everything, and it's all set for folks to fail, not by choice, but just by circumstance that the government creates.
That's true. Well, I know you're going to be excited when I tell you this, but I'm going to the courthouse tomorrow to pay my property taxes for this year. Aren't you excited to hear that? I just love going in and paying those. I mean, it's such a fair tax. Anyway, I'll move on. Don't get started on that. But cheer up, folks, because Evanston, Illinois will pay 140 elderly black people $25,000 for reparations in a test run for the whole country. Uh-huh. A city in Illinois expected to pay 140 mostly elderly black residents $25,000 each in reparations by the end of the year in what is calling a test run for the whole country. In 2019, Evanston, a city of 75,000 people north of Chicago, committed to paying 10 million over the next 10 years in local reparations for as it started to deliver on a promise nearly 4 years earlier, or 4 years later. First approved in March 2021, the program will benefit black residents if they or their ancestors live in the city between 1919 and 1969, or if they can show they suffered housing discrimination due to the city's policies. So that's my fault. No, that's the citizens of Evanston fault. So they're going to pay reparations, although they may probably they weren't even born then, maybe, but it's still their fault.
Well, I think they should pay. I think they should pay reverse reparations.
Explain that.
They should be thankful that they were. They should be thankful that they were brought over and they had to experience very difficult times. And I'm not, you know, applauding what they went through. They went through horrible, horrible situations. But, and you know, but many have succeeded. And I mean that as a good story.
Absolutely.
I'm not saying this as a racist or anything like that. I'm just saying, would they prefer to be where they came from?
Totally, totally true.
So, I mean, any other nationality that came over here, I'll tell you what, when you read about what happened to folks in New York City, the Italians, the Irish, I'm not comparing the two. I'm not. But, you know, it's, you know, and again, things that happened in the South, and it was horrible, absolutely horrible. But was, you know, so anyway. I know I got myself into a lot of trouble on that one, but
well, hey, you told the truth, and I'm really and I'm dead sorry about that. If any of this happened to anybody, I don't care what color they were, but we didn't do it. You and I weren't even there. Don't blame us for that. But anyway, to make it even a little more interesting, tribal leader would like Ben and Jerry to return stolen land. A tribal leader would like the colonists known as Ben and Jerry to return their stolen land. The chief of a tribe descended from the Indian nation that originally controlled the land in Vermont, the Ben and Jerry's headquarters is located on, wouldn't be interested in taking it back. This glorious turn of events happened just 1 week after the colonists, known as Ben and Jerry, demanded everyone else return land stolen from the American Indians, starting with Mount Rushmore. Well, very quickly, after that smug 4th of July proclamation from Ben and Jerry, whose Indian name is They Who Overcharged for Ice Cream, was discovered that Ben and Jerry's very own Vermont headquarters sits on stolen land from the Abenaki Nation. Well, now Don Stevens, chief of the Noguian band of the Cosoc Abenaki Nation, would like to see the colonists known as Ben and Jerry put their money where their filthy rich mouths are and turn that stolen land. Don Stevens, chief of the Nulligan band of the Cosoc Abenaki Nation, one of the four descended from the Abenaki that are organized in Vermont, told Newsweek it was always interested in reclaiming the ownership, stewardship of her lands, but that the company had yet to approach them. It comes after the ice cream company was questioned as to when it would give up its Burlington, Vermont headquarters, which sits on the vast swath of U.S. territory that was under the auspices of the Abenaki people before colonization. This is so delicious. It's ice cream delicious, says. Then perilous Ben and Jerry thought they could use the 4th of July to troll America with white guilt through virtue signaling, and that they could do so without paying any kind of price. Like most leftists, they simply assumed their virtue was pristine. Well, what do you know? Now, these two idiots are in a real pickle. They can either return the stolen land or get laughed at for the rest of their natural lives because the incentive is going to stick like glue. To be clear, this whole land back movement is stupid. Somewhere in the past, the Abenaki probably stole their land from another tribe. The tribe who lost that land to the Abenaki probably stole the land themselves. The white man did not introduce slavery, genocide, or land theft to the American Indian. People are people, Indians are people. All kinds of terrible things happened before we arrived, including land theft. So who do we return the land to? Who originally owned it? It's all so dumb. The next article says, land-grab universities. Native American tribes demand reparations for land sold to University of Minnesota. I'm not going to get through all this. But I said, remember about 2 months ago, I jokingly said, I'm part Indian, I think either Seneca or Cherokee, and I'm looking for reparations. Well, here you go, Melody. It's coming about. There you go. But several Native American tribes whose ancestors sold over 94,000 acres of land to make a space for the University of Minnesota now want reparations from the school. So I guess fair is fair, isn't it?
Sounds that way.
If the blacks get it, then my before the blacks were here, my family members were kicked off the land and moved different places. So why can't I get reparations also? I'm going to join this movement. You just will go with me. So okay. Anyway.
All right.
I mean, it's just insane.
It's just so stupid.
It's insane. And the people, and they'll start with the blacks, but I promise you, it will go further than that real soon.
Yep.
It will go further than that. I promise you it will. It will. There's no stopping it. Once it's started, it's like cancer. Unless you cut it out, it's going to keep on going.
I mean, I would like to know what the people of Illinois think about it.
Yeah, especially in Evanston, when it's going to pay it.
Yeah.
Wow. I don't know. It's just so sad. It just makes you want to stand sometimes, throw your hands up and say, what's the use? If we're that dumb, then, you know, we got to come in. Now, this next article is not maybe such a big deal in numbers-wise, but it's a big deal because it could be the beginning of something really huge. Biden orders 3,000 reservists to be ready for Europe deployments. Now, that's not a big number. That isn't like we're going to go to war, shipping with 30,000 troops. I didn't say that. But it could be a sign, just like it was in Vietnam, we sent over advisors in the early 60s, just to advise. Then we sent a few troops over to help and show how to use the equipment. Next thing we were an all-out police action, they called it. It's not clear whether the troops will actually be deployed, but it suggests the U.S. military presence in Europe is under strain. The potential call-ups on the heels of NATO summit in Lithuania this week, where President Joe Biden had other allies pledged to make 300,000 troops ready. Now pay attention. Pledged to make 300,000 troops ready for rapid deployment within 30 days or less. Okay. President Joe Biden has authorized the military to call up 3,000 reserve troops to support operations in Europe after tens of thousands were sent there last year after Russia's invasion of Ukraine, a top general said Thursday. Although it is not clear whether Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin plans to actually deploy these reservists anytime soon, the move suggests that the U.S. military's training mission in Europe, along with the deployment of several new brigades after the invasion, has stressed active duty forces. This reaffirms the unwavering support and commitment to defense of NATO eastern flank in the wake of Russia's illegal and unprovoked war in Ukraine, Lieutenant General Douglas Sims, the Director of Operations for the Joint Staff, told reporters on Thursday. I'm not saying, Mel, it's a huge move all one, but they placed 300,000 more troops. That's a lot, is it not?
It seems that way.
It seems that way to me. And yeah. I do know this from a good source. People are not going to the military fast enough.
No.
And we're going to soon start hiring mercenary armies. We already have. It's
going to
be out in public. And that was one of the last things that Rome did, if you read history, before they collapsed. They hired mercenary armies because they couldn't raise their own.
Oh.
Good music already.
Yes, it is. We'll be right back.
Well, I'm standing on a corner in Winslow, Arizona. It's such a fine sight to see. It's a girl, my lord, in a flatbed Ford, slowing down to take a look at me. Come on, baby. Don't say baby. I've got to know if your sweet love is going to save.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it: to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with Pastor Butch Paul. And I didn't know if you were ready to move to another.
Oh, yes. Yep, we're ready to go to another one because there's so much cover. There's so many things happening that it's impossible to cover it all in an hour program. Well, I mean, we could do an hour every day, every week, and never keep caught up, Melody. It's impossible. It's impossible.
I know.
U.S. NATO weapon stockpile at dangerously low levels, top Air Force general says. Well, we knew that'd be true. The weapon stockpile of the United States and North America, North Atlantic Treaty Organization allies, are becoming dangerously low with no short-term solutions, according to a top U.S. Air Force commander. General James Hecker, the commander of U.S. Air Force Europe and Air Forces Africa, made the remarks at the chief of the Air Staff's Global Air and Space Chiefs Conference in London breaking defense. Air Force General urged NATO allies to think seriously about their stockpiles. I think it's very important that we kind of take the stock of where we are in our weapons state across the 32 nations of NATO, and we're getting a way down compared to where we were, General Hecker said on the panel with the air chiefs of the United Kingdom and Sweden at the conference, reported the outlet. And it's probably not going to get better. Well, it's not in the short term, but we've got to make sure in the long term we have the industrial base that can increase what we have. He said at the July 12th to 13th event, urging all NATO nations to start making deeper investments. Well, we've been giving away how much for how long? I mean, and I mean, we're talking about huge, huge overturns of weapons that we needed to actually was supposed to be there for our self-defense. We give a lot of it away to a nation to continue a proxy war with Russia. Any comments, Melody?
No, sir.
And we knew this would probably come in Crimean Bridge, traffic halted due to emergency explosions reported. It's not this last week or so they were talking about this. Somebody's going to blow up the Crimean Bridge, and blame it on somebody. And I don't know who did this, but it's starting to happen. Sorry, it happened. It's deja vu all over again, as various local news outlets report that traffic on the Russian-built Crimean Bridge linking the Crimean Peninsula to the Russian region of Krasnodar was stopped due to an emergency. The head of the Crimea, Sergei Askonov, made the statement on his Telegram channel, but did not specify the nature of the incident. Traffic was stopped on the Krymsky Bridge. An emergency occurred in the area of the 145th support from the Krasnodar territory. Law enforcement officers and all responsible services are working. I spoke with the Minister of Transport of the Russian Federation, Vitaly Slavoyev. Measures are being taken to restore the situation. We keep in touch with colleagues from Krasnodar territory. It was early in the morning, and so there are a few images available due to the darkness, but there are some video clips that are reported of the scene. Russia's Gray Zone channel, a heavily followed telegram channel affiliated with the Wagner Mercenary Group, reported that there were two strikes on the bridge at 3:04 a.m. and 3:20 a.m. There has been no official comment from Ukraine or Russia as yet. So somebody struck the Crimea Bridge, the only connection between the peninsula and Russia. You may have to wonder who done that. Now we know who bombed the pipeline, but that's been pretty much proven, and it kind of swept under the rug. Nobody's talked more about it. So who's doing this to the bridge? Comments, Melody?
Well, you know, now Russia pulled out of that grain deal they did a year ago. A lot of people are saying because that happened, that's why they did that. But they said no, they had announced that they were pulling out of that deal prior to that. So, yeah, it looks like things might be falling apart over there.
Well, this next article, we're going to talk about the Ukrainians are being conscripted off the streets. Unless Congress decides to put the draft back in place, and I expect them to, but they even said they're even going to draft women next time. We'll see. In Ukraine, they can't find enough people to fight. Young Ukrainians scared to leave their homes as more and more videos emerge of forced conscription. As Ukraine manpower on its front line starts to dwindle, military leaders are becoming increasingly desperate to locate new recruits to propel its counteroffensive against Russia forward. However, the number of young people volunteering such a challenge has plummeted. Recent videos of young Ukrainian men being conscripted across the country have circulated in popular encrypted message apps in Ukraine, and those fearful of being sent to the front are actively engaging in evasive and, in some instances, illegal tactics to avoid such a fate. The brutal mobilization of Ukrainian military recruitment officers of young men has been occurring for a year and a half now, Hungarian reporter Magyar Nivis reports. Many conscripted men are taken straight off the streets by uniformed men, it states. Most recently in Subcarpathia, a surveillance camera recorded the overreach of the authorities as a man was trying to go to the store, was kidnapped from his bicycle in broad daylight. The man was abducted right on the street during the day by police and conscription officers in a small village in the municipal district of Munkacs with his bicycle left in the road. Another video showed a footage of a young man being pushed against his will to a Burgundy Army minibus in Makachevo, Transcarpathia. Similar videos have been posted from the other major cities across Ukraine, including Kyiv and Odessa. Some of the accounts posting this content have had increasingly large number of followers, up to 100,000, with some accounts geo-tracking recruitment patrols in real time to help others evade what is known as colloquially as the love letter. So there are people tracking these patrols So young folks will know not to where to go and not get caught there. Other young men are simply refusing to leave their homes due to an increasing number of unannounced mobile checkpoints in regions across Ukraine. While military recruiters seek to catch Ukrainian men of military age off guard and conscript them into the forces. Many young people no longer leave their homes. There's always a risk. You have to be really careful and look around in case there's any danger. It's really stressful, said one young Ukrainian man in an interview with a broadcaster. Andriy Novak, a Ukrainian lawyer and specialist in military affairs, said that corruption among military recruiters remains rife, and some conscription officers are playing the system to get rich quick. Always money involved, folks, always. Because of corruption, there are illegal methods to avoid the war, which such as paying off the people from the Armed Forces Commissary, or paying for those false certificates of disability, he told the French broadcaster. So, always, Melody, there's always somebody to make a profit. And the conscriptors are finding ways to make fortunes off the people that don't want to go. Some of them are buying luxury vehicles. Some are buying second homes in Spain. And you have to wonder, do the ones that are in charge not see this, or they just don't care?
I don't know. Probably just don't care. I don't know.
You know, it's a shame that you're afraid to leave your home because you get shoved into a car and took out on the front line somewhere.
Yeah. Well, obviously, you know, when the war first started, men were not allowed to leave. There was men trying to go with their wives and their babies. They were just going to leave. And there was a law, you know, they said, you're staying here. They didn't have a choice.
Well, now they're still digging them out of the, I guess you can say, out of the crevices and trying to put them in the front lines as cannon fodder.
Yeah.
Bargary apologizes to China for listing Taiwan as a country after online backlash. I would have thought Taiwan was an independent country, but of course I'm wrong. But Bulgaria has become the latest international brand to apologize to China after listing Taiwan as a country on its website. China claims self-ruled Taiwan as its territory, and both the government and Chinese internet users have a history of scolding or boycotting international brands that have referred to Taiwan as a separate country. Late Tuesday, Bulgaria posted an apology on Weibo, China's version of Twitter, saying it steadfastly and always respected China's sovereignty and territorial integrity. Our brands has immediately corrected the mistakenly marked store addresses and map indications on the overseas official website, which resulted from management negligence, the Italian luxury brand said in a statement. We deeply apologize for the mistake. So China obviously holds some sway in Italy when it comes to business, Melody.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So there you go. And
there you go.
This interests a lot of people, I think, at least people like us. Homicides, Melody, soar 96% in Washington State after passage of gun restrictions. Did you hear that?
I did.
96%.
I'm listening. I'm paying attention.
More homicides, you better, because there'll be a test afterwards. But anyway, 96% increase in homicides after they passed gun control laws. Well, duh. According to a new report released July 10th, the rate of murders, violence, and property crimes rose across Washington State in 2022, while the number of law enforcement officers available to respond and protect citizens decreased. Specifically, the report revealed there were 394 murders in 2022, an increase of 16.6% over 2021, and the highest number of murders since the Washington Association of Sheriffs and Police Chiefs began recording this data in 1980. In addition, homicides increased 96% since 2019, and violent crimes increased by 8.9%. So with the increase of 16.6% compared to 2021, to that all-time high of 394, that is 96% higher murders than 2019. So obviously, folks, if you would poll maybe people in Chicago and Detroit and even New York City, gun control's not working too well. Of course, when the police no longer want to work, the people have no means to defend themselves legally, I wonder what happens next. An increase in crime. Who's going to stop them? The cops aren't there. And people can't shoot back. So there's no reason to stop. There's profit in a criminal enterprise when the people disarm. Would you agree, Melody?
I agree.
Anything you want to add to that? I mean, you're being off quiet.
No, I'm just I'm listening, and I'm just going over the numbers, and it's like, but you know, this is something that we always know. They don't enforce the laws that they already have on the books, so you can just keep adding all you want. It's not going to help.
No, it's
enforce
not.
The laws you got on the books. Same way like our borders. Enforce the laws we got on the books.
You remember when the sexual revolution started and the immorals come out of the closet and said, listen, all we want is tolerance. All we want to do is be equal. We want you to tolerate us. We want you to allow us to live. We won't bother you. You don't bother us. Well, somebody lied. Angry liberals sent death threats to web designer behind Supreme Court decision upholding free speech and the First Amendment. The plaintiff in a landmark case that the Supreme Court just ruled on to uphold every American's right to free speech through the First Amendment has become a target of leftists, some of whom are sending her death threats in response. Lori Smith, a Colorado website designer, and the plaintiff in 303 Creative versus Illinois, says she is receiving a barrage of hate mail following the 6-3 ruling in her favor on June 30th. Especially in the last week, despite the victory last week, I do continue to face horrific attacks. People saying they hope I would be raped. They want to burn my house down. They know where I live. And they want to come and kill me and my family. Now, that's for folks, that's really, that's all they want is tolerance. Smith commented about the loving liberals and how they are treating her following the SCOTUS decision. A security team is monitoring all the comments that come in very, very closely to determine the best way to protect Lori and to take action consistent with the threat, added Kelly Friedrich, Senior Counsel and Government Affairs Director at the Alliance of Defending Freedom, a public interest law firm that represented Smith throughout her case. So all they wanted was to be treated equal. But then when you say that you can't infringe on somebody's free speech, you cannot force your values on them, and Supreme Court rules in their favor, you start threatening to kill them. Hmm. What's wrong with that, Melody? I mean, gee.
I know.
It's really sad. And folks, this is increasing chaos all over the country. It really is. What Melody's trying to do to help you prepare is just common sense preparation. It really and truly, I mean we keep spare tire in a car. We have insurance in our house and a car in case something happens. Well, Melody's trying to offer you some financial insurance in case something happens. And it is happening as we talk right now. As we speak, things are happening and getting worse every day and more convoluted every day. You do need to call her. Ask her what you can do to get a little bit of financial stability in case of emergency. 800-375-4188. Folks, we report this to you because they want you to know what's happening. So you won't be blindsided. You just play football. Nothing hurts worse than a blindsided tackle. You see it coming, you prepare yourself for it. But if you don't see it, it smarts. We're just trying to tell you, don't get tackled without being seen. Melody, go ahead.
Yeah, that's great. So we do appreciate it, and we are out of time. And we will. I just want to tell the listeners, Greg Hunter will be joining us on Wednesday. So make sure you tune in on Wednesday. But we'll be here tomorrow. So until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.